this is in the holy letters of the Rebbe, and this is dated, this is letter number 1002, and this is dated on Pesach Sheni, which is the 14th day of Iyar, in Tavshin Yud Aleph. And the Rebbe is addressing this to, this is like a very, it looks like a scholarly piece over here. And the Rebbe is giving, the Rebbe sent out these different publications that he used to publish of the various different discourses and the Hasidic interpretation. And this was published for Lag BaOmer. And the Rebbe always says that you shall give other opportunity, give others to study. It's not like today we print millions of copies of everything and you just throw them away later. I mean, but in those days it would be a little bit more, the paper, the printing, it was more expensive. So people used to read it and then give it to the next one and then to the next one. But today you just download it from the internet or something and you find it over there. What? Yeah, okay. But the Rebbe always adds, and the Rebbe in this case tells him to, that I'm sure that you'll also get other people to read it, that you will give other people the opportunity. Why do we rejoice on Lag BaOmer? What's the celebration? There are many reasons, but we go by what it says in the writings of the Arizal, a blessed memory, and that's brought down in the Chassidus, that day is the passing of the holy Tana, of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. It's called the Lulav of Shimon Bar Yochai. So what happened, quoting here from the Zohar, on Lag BaOmer, what happened is he reached at that time to the beginning and the head of all of his levels. I mean, he reached the highest level. And this was what he was studying together with his colleagues at the time. And he had in himself the shine, it says, the shine of the Mashiach. So every year on this day, that situation is once again aroused. But it's an advantage in our generation that although we are on a lower level, which means we're not any better. You know, a lot of people say a lot of times that why do we have opportunities to study things that they didn't study in the previous generation when really we are on a lower level as we are progressing throughout these centuries. But yet, in the earlier generation, it wasn't allowed. Kabbalah, the teachings of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai was only permitted for Rav Shimon Bar Yochai and his group. Only a very select few were permitted to study the Kabbalah. But in our generations, these later generations, it is permissible, and it is actually a mitzvah. He says it's a mitzvah to reveal the inner aspects of the Torah. And that is what is going, with this teaching of the Kabbalah, with the Pnimius HaTorah, they're going to go out from the exile with mercy. How lucky is the man that during this special fortunate day, the day in which the revealed Torah has become, the inner part of Torah has been revealed, will strengthen and they will add force in setting up classes to learn the inner parts of Torah for himself and also with a group, with friends, and also to influence in his, to the extent possible, on other people to do the same. And with the shine of this study specifically, we will also live also in our occupation in the external part of the Torah, and in all our ways we will know Hashem, that we will know Hashem and what Hashem requires from us. So the emphasis here is knowing Hashem, because of course a person cannot fully comprehend, that cannot extend and say that they know God. Knowing God is something which is impossible to fully comprehend in the human capacity. As there is an expression, if you would know him, you would be him. In other words, you have to be God in order to know God, but you can't be. But yet, one is supposed to study to the extent that he can appreciate. And like everything else, I mean, I'm adding, it doesn't say over here, but like everything else, there are certain things you know, but you don't really get, you don't really comprehend the enormity, you don't really comprehend the real meaning of it. You just know it in a very general way. So when you say the word God, who created the world, who runs the world, so that's a very general, it's a very not detailed, it's not a something that you contemplate it. It's not something that you reflected on. It's just, you know, there's a God out there, he created it, and that's it. But the more you study and you start, you know, reflecting, meditating on the fact, what it means to be God, what it means to create the world, what it means to run everything. That's the study of Hasidus, that when you learn Hasidus, you read a little bit about the enormity, what's going on over there. So that's what I say. So the Rebbe says that when you learn Hasidus, we know what are we expected to do. What is expected of us? Learning the revealed part of Torah is something that we know how to act, and we get the reward for learning Torah. But how do we know that which is expected of us? How we should daven, how we should occupy ourselves with Torah, doing the mitzvahs, and how we should conduct our daily life in all the details of our actions with blessing. And the Rebbe sends regards to the whole whole group of people over there. And the Rebbe over here in the footnotes to the letter, the Rebbe also gives various different the reflection on that. Lag BaOmer, you know, is the time that we actually celebrate the inner part of Torah, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. And that's a time when the revealed part of Torah, as the Rebbe brings out over here, is prevalent. The Rebbe, in addition to being a great scholar in the Talmud and everything else, was also unmatched in his knowledge of the inner part of Torah, as well as all the teachings of all the Rebbes that came before him. He was an expert in and knowledgeable in all the in everything. I mean, it's to us it almost seems like, you know, a photographic memory and things like that. That's the way we could relate, because the Rebbe didn't forget anything, and he knew just everything, that anything that he ever, I guess, that he studied or he looked on. And it's not like studying, you know, a lot of times, you know, you it happens, you know, you studied something, right? Let's say you studied a page of Talmud, and then the Rebbe makes a reference to that page of Talmud, right? And you say to yourself, I just studied that page of Talmud. Can I, what is the Rebbe referencing over there? I just studied this, you know, just yesterday. Can I, and you say, no, I don't see the connection. What did the Rebbe see in that page over there? And then you have to read, you say, hey, you know what? I actually read the page, and I didn't see what the Rebbe saw on that page. So it's two things. A, the Rebbe saw that page maybe 20 years ago, or I don't know, or maybe the Rebbe used to review it. But B, he saw the page totally different. It's like looking at a drawing, or looking at a picture on the wall. So you ask somebody, what do you see over there? He says, well, I don't see much, you know, I just see this. But you ask somebody who has a good eye, he'll tell you, hey, look at this, look at that. So it's not just the memorizing what you learned, many years later, what you studied earlier, but it's also understanding. When you are looking at it, you understand what you see, you know what you're learning, you understand. And it's almost unhumanly. This is not in most, at least in most cases, is not humanly the norm, that for people to be able to do that. And herein on top, together with all that, you know, to be totally devoted to the thought. You know, I see people that come up with an idea, like some good idea, chap, you know, then. So right away they keep on bragging about what they came up. You know, they have an interpretation. They have, it's my interpretation. But you learn the entire Talmud. You learn all the different pieces over there, and the Tosfos, the explanation. All the various guys. They don't stop to pat themselves on the back. Oh, look what I came up with. Look what they weren't interested. They were interested in the real, in the study of the Torah. It's not about them. It's not about their own ego or trying to say, prove that they're right and everything else and the similar. So I'm just saying it's, the Rebbe pushed, in addition to everything else, that we should study Hasidus, and we should internalize Hasidus, and we should behave our lives, you know, like Hasidim. And I know one of the things what we wonder a lot of times is, hey, listen, it's good enough, we just come to shul. Okay, so, I mean, or we put on the tefillin, you know, that's already a lot. It's too much to ask, you know, to do things on a more spiritual level, you know, that's very difficult. It almost seems not connected to us, the performance of mitzvah. We say, good, we do the mitzvah, you know, that's already almost enough. And perhaps for beginning that's enough, but we should always know that there is more to strive to, that there's a lot more meaning, there's a lot more to get to, and hopefully that we work hard, eventually we get to the what we expected. But Rebbe says over here, what's expected of us? You know, we have to do what we can do. You know, we have to do our best. You know, people have different life experiences, people have different capabilities, people have different talents, and you can't expect one, it's not one size fits all. Everybody does the best that they can in their circumstances. We weren't raised in the same families, we weren't raised in the same environment, we don't have the same jobs, everybody has their own life experience, but everybody on their own level needs to do the best they can on their level, and then hopefully you improve your life, both physically and spiritually.
Even if you are born in the same family, people are different.
Yeah, that's true. But I think, well, that's versus nurture, nature versus nurture. They say a story about interesting, you know, what is stronger, second nature, you know, like you can train yourself certain things. So they say a story about Maimonides, so I heard, I'm not sure exactly the details, I'm sure it's, you know, just remember the punchline. So they wanted to prove that Rambam, the Maimonides, he was of the view that your first nature is always stronger than what you've learned, you know, your second nature. And the others, so were no, that they said that the other people over there said that, no, that your second nature is stronger than your first nature. So they were supposed to make a demonstration to the people, everybody, to prove their point. Rambam sort of forgot about it, and he was in his study. And the other people were most of a presentation. So then they're knocking at the Rambam's doors 3 weeks later. Says, we're here to pick you up to go and make your demonstration. Oh, he forgot totally about it. He has to show. So he had his, he used to snuff tobacco. He had a little tobacco, and he closed the case. There was a mouse was in there, and he closed it on the mouse. He closed it. In those days, it was pretty common to have mice around the house. It wasn't like today. But in any event, he comes to this place, so they made a tremendous display. They trained cats to go become waiters. And the cats were bringing out the trays with food for all the guests that were assembled over there. It was like unbelievable. So they wanted to prove that the second nature is, look how they trained them. And Rambam being, how is he going to disprove them? So he takes, once he opens up the box of tobacco and to take a snuff, out jumps the mouse, the cats drop their trays and start chasing the mouse. So he actually ended up proving his point that the first nature overrides the second nature. So when you put him in a position, their first nature comes out. And so, I mean, first nature of cats is to run after mice. He says that it overpowers. You can change it a little bit. No, that's what he. Again, I'm not sure how the application of this to really work it out. But it's just a good story. But, you know, sometimes, you know, the real, you know, yourself, it probably depends how much you change yourself. I guess there's no one rule. I mean, one can, in the Tanya, the elementary book of Chassidus, it talks about there's various levels of how much a person is able to change themselves, which means, let's say, if a person has naturally, and we all do, have we drawn to things that we shouldn't do. So we're naturally drawn. Can we control those urges? Okay, can we control urges that we have? Are we in charge? Are we in control? So it says that over there. It says that you may. Everybody has the ability to control themselves, not to act on their urges. They may not be able to eradicate an urge from their heart. They cannot have that, but they do have control. A person has control not to do even something that he has an urge to do. You don't have to act on what you want to do. However, there are some, it says over there, that they're called like the real tzaddik. They actually have control over their emotions themselves. They can eradicate, they don't even want to do bad, you know, so they don't have even, they're not tempted, you know, so it's not like, they don't have to battle, they don't have to struggle, they're just, you know, naturally, they've already sort of put themselves down. Like King David, it says, besides, you know, that one incident over there, what happened with King David, with Bathsheba over there, which the Talmud says, but after that, he was fasting, and he did such great tshuva that it says libi cholal bikirbi, that his heart became hollow. There was no urge anymore. There was no and in that also there is a tzaddik v'tovlo, tzaddik v'ra. There's various different levels. So generally speaking, our nature that we have, for most people, we can't really get rid of it, but we could harness, we could control it, and we can. And sometimes, you know, when we daven with intense kavana, it almost feels like we don't have a yetzer hara. It almost feels like, but the average person, that's why he calls them, and the Tanya calls them the average person. So the Tanya says, so what's the point? So why does God want us to struggle like this? You know, so what's the, I mean, if we're never going to win the war, essentially, we're always going to be struggling. So what's the point? I mean, it's something that we can't win. But the Rebbe explains that the point is actually in struggle. Struggle itself, I mean, God wants us to overcome, to be in control, He doesn't expect us to be tzaddikim, to take away our urges, to take away, He doesn't expect us, you know, being a human being with your lackings, with your deficiencies, and still try to do what's right, you know, and so that's the struggle. And the only thing is that a lot of people live life and they don't pay attention. Most people, I would think, I'm not sure, I'm not observing, most people don't really pay attention to their spiritual life, or to what they're to refine themselves, to become better people, to become. They, first of all, life is such in America that everything is rushed. You're always, you're always running, and you know, in order to just merely survive, you know, this world. Most people, you need both, two people working, you know, two family people working to support a family. And then you gotta, you know, just to pay, keep up with your bills, you know, you gotta just, so it's just so unconducive to thinking about, so what am I doing with my life here? So why am I sitting here? Why am I doing all this? You know, is there meaning? So people don't stop to think. Only sometimes when people get thrown in, okay, I'm going to, only when people get sometimes thrown in a monkey wrench and they get into some hardship sometimes, do they start reflecting and say, or sometimes very good things, something, or they say, hey, but wait a minute, I've never really lived my life because I've always been like a machine just running. What am I doing here? I mean, how do I make myself happy as a meaningful life, you know, to do something for myself, for my soul, for my purpose of coming down over here? What am I supposed to do? Am I just supposed to pass by life and that's it? Or is there something meaning? That's where you come in, study Torah, daven, do mitzvahs and all the good things, and then you start living life anew, and life is great when it's done according to the Torah.